Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today is Jerry Downs. Jerry Downs is an artist, photographer, and writer who lives 10 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Rafael, California. Jerry's work has appeared throughout the world in books, magazines, and museums. Jerry was born the fifth of 11 children, had a horrible time in school, and spent a large part of his life living hand-to-mouth trying to make a living and make sense of why he was born. Eventually, he stopped trying so hard. Everything that has happened in his life has helped him understand that life is a creative act and joy is the only measure of success. Jerry is happy to be alive and enormously appreciative that anything exists at all. During the show, we'll be talking about his photography, art, and his book, Why You Were Born, which is about remembering the wonder we knew as children and how great it is to remember. To connect with Jerry online, please visit his website at www.jerrydownsphoto.com. That's jerrydownsphoto.com. Welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you. I love the introduction. Even though I wrote it, it sounds really funny when you hear it.
It does always sound really different when you hear it. And I don't know about you, but when I hear things, I hear them differently than when I read them.
So, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Yes, when I did the Kickstarter thing for the book, I wrote it all, but the written word is so much different than the spoken word that I had to just wing it at the end. And, it was much better.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned when I was writing my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, I read somewhere or heard somewhere that if you read what you've written out loud, then you know how you can catch how it sounds better. And since I wanted my book at some point to be an audio book as well, I wanted to make sure that it sounded really good both ways. So, yeah, I would read it out loud to myself and then read it just in the book. I read your whole book for this because you sent me the review PDF of the book, and I was just so amazed by your stories and the pictures and the amazing pull quotes that you have in there. It's an amazing book. I really, really am looking forward to getting the real book.
Well, thank you. No, it's a little different. It's different in that it's not just, well, it is a photography book, but the photographs mostly just support the feeling or the sensibility of the story. Photographs can be read instantly, and they give you a feeling.
Right.
And that's, I like pretty pictures. But
I do too,
If there's not something else going on in the picture that has some emotional content to it, they're easy to dismiss. I want them to pose questions, even if it's a pretty picture, it can be, how could something like that exist? Even if that's the question. But I like synchronicities, and I like putting oddball things together. And when you're a child, you have to make associations. You have to, because you're basically assembling the world from scratch.
Right.
And so play is an essential part of being a kid.
Right.
And it's biologically true, because if you don't have some kind of faith, some fearlessness, you don't proceed, you don't try new things. And as a kid, that's the whole shtick. What does this do? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? You need to do all those things. And then a funny thing happens. After
What's
you
that?
Know something, it's important to dismiss it. like, okay, now I know what a glass is. Now let's move on to mm-hmm. what the table does. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. But
yeah.
at a certain point when you get older and after you get a lot of input, like you should know better and all these other kind of messages you get,
mm-hmm.
you start to think that you've got it down. Like so there's that inquisitiveness calms down and that playfulness diminishes. And this is especially true as you get older and older and older and older.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also true when you're an adult that when you fall in love or when you have a religious experience or you have something else, there's a tendency to say, okay, now I got it. And then
mm-hmm.
keep trying to recreate that feeling instead of remembering that what brought that feeling on in the first place was that willingness to let go of what you previously believed and take on something new, to be playful.
That is so true. And it's so much why some people seem so much older than they even are is because they aren't willing to look at things in new ways and aren't willing to, or able to, maybe it's able to, look at things with new eyes and with curiosity. I think curiosity, the word curiosity came up for me when you were saying that about how you're learning about things as a kid. And so if we can keep that curiosity about life and about how things work and how they look and to see beyond the obvious as what seems like you do with your photography.
That's true of like the stories too. When I was
mm-hmm.
writing the book,
mm-hmm.
This really wonderful thing happened because I remembered my childhood way more than most people, simply because I was the fifth of 11 kids. So I there were always children around me the entire
mm-hmm.
time. There was always infants around me. So if you weren't making trouble, they pretty much left you alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it may sound like I was surrounded by kids and running around and all that other stuff, and that was true. But the
mm-hmm.
other part was, even as a 5-year-old, we lived in the country, and I would just take off and walk through the fields and then come back a couple hours later, and they wouldn't even know I'd been gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which was so a lot of people do not have that experience. So I got to remember that. But the thing when I was writing the book was that I had like a stock story list of what was your childhood like. You know, I'd relay a certain number of things, and either to him. Press or get sympathy or whatever the reason I was doing it at the time.
Uh-huh.
And but when I started writing the book, it opened up because I was telling the stories to illustrate something, to what was the feeling about it. More
mm-hmm.
and more I come to see that how we feel about things is infinitely more important than what we think about things.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
It's the basis of why we want to be here. I mean, even if you're in all that getting your goal business of you want the new house, you want the new relationship, you want all those things are about how will it make me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing to remember, that's.
Many people get out of touch with how they even feel because we get told so much to think about it and to be logical and to do things in a sequential order. And that really gets you away from thinking about how things feel. And so to connect our heart with our head, I think, is what you're talking about here, too, is to think about it, but also to really pay attention to how you feel.
Yes. So, I mean, on one hand, I'm not saying that I walk around in some childlike bliss all the time
mm-hmm.
or that I'm proposing that that's what a person should do. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that every once in a while, remember that you actually have that option to do that.
Right.
Because it's inappropriate to just walk around looking at the stars all the time. There's an African expression that says, if you're always looking at the stars, you end up stepping in a lot of mud puddles. And that's true. You want to be here, but you want to feel what it's like to be here, even if it's scary. As a
right.
kid, you're a lot less afraid.
Well, that sounds
yeah,
true to me.
I think we don't, in child-rearing land, to
uh-huh.
overly protect a child is a disservice, because
right.
they don't know how to hold it. They don't know how to get up again, and so it's like you fall down. That hurt. I mean, acknowledge it, get in there, and hug them, and do the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you start screaming, get off that fence! You're gonna fall. It's like, well, am I? And then you're setting up the scenario that the earth is a scary place,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be on guard. But when you do that, you manifest that. You're actually kind of inviting it, like, because everybody wants to be right. So you end up being right about that it's a scary place.
Right.
And that's it's no fun.
Right. That's so true. You know, in your book, I just, there are so many photos that I loved and so many different stories. And I love the photo of your son and the story that you told about Christopher, you know, the one where he was sleeping with the sleeping
the
bag.
Devil.
I can't remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Skeletor, the sleeping bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know the name of the character on it, but that's an incredible photograph. How old is he in that picture?
Oh, I wonder, like 6 or 7, I guess.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. He's about that now. How old is he now? I got really curious about that because I didn't...
He's like 34. Hmm? 34.
Oh, my goodness.
34, 35, something like that.
Uh-huh.
He was born in 81, I know that.
Our son is 25. He just turned 25 January 1st. So I could, you know, seeing that picture brought back so many memories of when he was that age. And then, of course, you know, like you said, it reminds you of when you're a kid, too, and things. I have, there's 5 of us in our family. I'm the first of 5. So we're all pretty close in age, and I remember when the 5th one was born, I was saying to my mom, oh, we'll have another one, and then I can take care of the baby. And she said, well, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, yeah. But, oh, my gosh, that must have been really something to grow up with 11 children, and your mom must have been really amazing. I love the photograph that you posted of her on Facebook yesterday. And,
yes, that was a very interesting thing. I was surprised by the response. It was because it was the last picture I'd taken of her when she still knew who I was.
Right.
Before Alzheimer's set in and
mm-hmm.
she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But in what I wrote was that I was wheeling her around one day and I stopped and she grabbed me and pulled me face to face and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then she disappeared again. But she hadn't
mm-hmm.
talked to anybody for like months before that. And then she died
wow.
about a month later. But it's just the importance of staying in contact, that no matter what, even when
mm-hmm.
you're, you know, before that, when she could still talk, I was her father, I was her brother, I was her husband, I was all these different people because she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But something that I was doing triggered something. So I related to her that way and carried
mm-hmm.
on a conversation as if I was that guy.
Mm.
Because, and she, you know, there's no convincing someone that they're this is true whether they have Alzheimer's or not, that that their reality is not real and shouldn't be respected. Yeah, because I think it is real.
Yeah, well, it's real to them right then, and so, you know, you're right. I mean, what is reality? It's really what we're perceiving and how we're perceiving it and how we're feeling in that reality at the moment.
Yeah, and it's really, really unique and personal. Of anything I wanted to get across in the book is that it's not something where here's a list of 12 things you should do to become a better person or remember your childhood. It's just establish a feeling of something that suggests, because you have to find it your own way. There's life is just too personal, too individual. There's not one route for anybody. You really have to invent your own mythology, and people do.
That's so true.
One of the things I love about being a photographer is just being exposed to so many different worlds, and there's a bunch of them. And I get to enter these worlds.
Well, and so many different people,
then,
too, and ways of looking at things. And you said in the book that you'd been to a lot of the different, almost all the different states and different countries. And, yeah, that would really help you see how differently people live and how many ways, right ways there are to do things, in other words.
Yeah, and even within every single culture. I mean, I've done a lot of, interestingly enough, a lot of things for different religions. And it's, and even when we say Catholics think this way or Protestants think this way, or when you end up in the middle of them, they all disagree among themselves. But that's the same thing about, you know, when you're, we're an American or we're Californians or, but it's, but then we're in this family, and everybody in the family thinks differently. I think that's one really cool thing about the 11 kids is when I grew up, I saw that people had a lot of issues about their parents. Because, like, when they only had one or two kids. Because they, I guess, well, to me, my parents were there, and they definitely had the final say and all the rest of it. But the truth is they were just part of this group. And so when they couldn't say, why aren't you like Johnny? It was like, well, why aren't I like Mary or Sean or somebody? It's like, that's a stupid thing to say. and they knew that. I mean, so we didn't get a lot of that business. It was more like I was left alone. You know, I got to chase it down by myself. And I got to remember, how much time we got?
We've just got 11 minutes left. And I was just, before we run out of time, I wanted to say that next week on my show on the 18th, February 18th, my guests are going to be Ariel Ford and Brian Hilliard. And during the show, we're going to be talking about Ariel's book, The Soulmate Secret, and also what they've learned about how to find, attract, and enjoy time with your soulmate. And I'll be posting the links for those on Facebook and Twitter, and also on my email newsletter that you can sign up for on my website at margotjoydenader.com. But Jerry, I just have so many questions about your book. I mean, okay, Why You Were Born. I love the title. It got me intrigued. And it's a big subject. So how do you feel qualified to answer such a big question? Is it because of being one of the 11 kids?
Well, I think, well, when I came up with the title, it came from the same inner voice that wrote the rest of the book. And it was, and I didn't think anything of it. But then it was like, well, that's pretty ostentatious. Where do you get off? But the other part is, I do remember. And I think everybody can remember. And it's not unique to me what I remembered. It's one of the coolest things about when I, by the time I came along, there was, you know, I was the fifth of the 11. So I was like in charge of the babies. They were done. The kids raised each other. But wait, so for some reason I knew what to do with babies. And it was a fairly simple thing. You basically rock to their rhythm. You go to where they are. They're crying. You rock them to their cry. You don't try to be really calm. You go to them. And then they can relate. But one of the coolest things was that when I didn't know what to do, I wouldn't go to my parents or my older brothers and sisters. I would go to the younger brothers and sisters, and I would talk to the one underneath me, who would talk to the one underneath her and the one underneath him, until someone could talk to the baby. And the baby would answer, or you know, by that time it's all psychic, whatever. So, but they got an answer. And then they would translate it back to me as a six-year-old, and we would do it, and that would take care of it. But
that's amazing. I remember reading about that in your book, and the people that are listening can hear more details about that, or you know, find out more details if they read the book. And I highly recommend it. It's just an amazing book. That it would be worth getting alone just for the photos and the quotes, but the story that you tell is really interesting too, about what you learned, like you said, about being one of 11 children and having the younger kids around, and all the traveling and the photography, and some of the photos that I have in the slideshow as well, one of them being your son Christopher, that photo, and then I had put the one with the couple that was lying down on the bench in the park. That was an amazing story also.
Yes. Well, one of the things about the book is it's about remembering why, you know, what we forgot, but why it was important to forget, I think, is a really key part of the equation.
Why do you think it's important to forget? That's, I'm not sure if I understood that.
Well, it's the whole reason. It's the strategy for being here. If we knew everything, there really wouldn't be any need to be here. This is to expand who we are. This is to look at the universe in another way. It's, you know, it's the divine looking at itself. And if it knows, it's like if you're a millionaire and you want to see what it's like to be homeless, you can take off all your clothes and put on things and live there for a month, but still, you know, you can go back. You wouldn't really get the true experience. So it's that same thing of we had to forget. It's part of why it's part of the equation. It's part of what makes it important. It's what makes it possible. So that's very key. But and then the remembering part is you keep getting glimpses, and it comes back to you. And
well, you
and
know,
if, and then,
that reminds me of something that Carolyn Mace had said a long time ago. I'd heard her talking about what she calls sacred contracts, and how we have contracts, sometimes real short ones, sometimes really long ones, with people that even before we come here, and that when you meet people, sometimes they'll have a part of what you need to remember in their backpack, so to speak. So, you know, different parts of what you needed to remember about you and what's important to you. And I think that that's really true. It seems like people can trigger memories of what really matters to you, and they can get you curious and get you thinking in different ways and looking at things in different ways. And that's one of the things I especially love about the photos that you have in the book and that you also post on Facebook, is that you get us really thinking and looking at life in different ways.
Well, it's all I do all day long. Well, see, when I go out and take pictures, I no longer go out. I don't look for pictures. I just go out and appreciate. And the sidewalk looks like this. There's the crack that's doing that. the tree is in this season, it the wind is catching it, it's how it's all behaving. Not everything is a good picture, but everything's worthy of appreciation. And when you're in that state of appreciation, pictures are everywhere. Really interesting things. And because I've taken so many pictures, I want to be surprised myself. Mm-hmm. So I walk around until I'm surprised. And then when I'm surprised, I take a picture.
Well,
I'm not big into format.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always do. I am so amazed how many photos I've seen you post on Facebook and how many of them do help me look at things in some new ways. So I highly recommend that people get in touch with you through your website. They can find you, your Facebook on the website, right?
Well, yeah, or it's just Jerry Downs. And find one of the other ones and either subscribe or click like and you'll start getting things. But, and the other thing that perhaps the 11 kids, it was, diversity was really big.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't just do barns or city things or people things. I do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything is interesting. It's,
that is
it's
so
all
true.
The world. And I specialize in seeing. I don't specialize in a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you talked about that in the book about how people were recommending that as a photographer that you specialize in just one thing or one area.
Which is actually good advice. I mean, that's not a weird thing to say, but there's no real way to. It's like, well, here's this guy. He's got all these different styles. He shoots all these different things. He's cool, right? It's like, no, I want somebody who does square black and whites, and they're all in nature scenes when, and long exposures, and the water is really still. You know, it's like, there's a way to identify it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, it's not my style. But
you know, and that's the thing, is that you have to do what's your style. I think that's really the bottom line of it. And then your audience will find you instead of you trying to fit yourself into being what you think this particular audience is going to want.
Right. And again, I don't think that it's a weird thing that people do specialize. Thank God they do. If people didn't specialize and were completely anal, I wouldn't have a camera. I wouldn't, you know, some guy sitting around writing an algorithm. Thank God they did that. or making a car. It's all, everybody's got their thing. And I think that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
It should be that diverse. I'm not arguing for my way of doing it.
Mm-mm.
But when you, if you want to come up with a new idea or a new algorithm or a new way to make a car, that sense of play and imagination and inquisitiveness is really essential.
It really is.
It's what makes the new thing. What makes the new standard. And then other people jump on and say, well, this is the way it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And everything can be done differently, better, for eternity. That's what
puts
the eternal in eternity. As they say.
That's true. Jerry, we're almost out of time. It's just gone by so quickly. And I just wanted to say a few questions that I ask at the end of the show. What music do you hear calling you? I'm asking all of you out there listening, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limits and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Jerry, you're definitely doing that, and you're helping others do it by your photography, and I really appreciate you creating your book and your photos and also for being on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So the Why You Were Born, you can get it on Amazon as well.
Oh, good.
And then, so that's, life is good. Life. It's certainly interesting. It's got the full range.
Yeah, life is interesting. Well, thank you again for being on my show, and I look forward to seeing you more on Facebook and to getting a real copy of your book so that we can have it here on the coffee table to remind us
Fantastic.
Of all the creativity.
Thank you, Margo. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye for now, everyone. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.